Good morning, Main Place. Good to see your smiling faces. I love the fall. Anybody else love the fall? I get seriously happy on that first morning where the steam really is visible coming out. A couple days ago, it was like that, and so thankful. Thankful to God for the seasons. You know, that was His idea. His idea that we have that kind of a change. Let me, if you don't mind, I want to pray. Don't need a lot of time, but I want to really ask and make sure the Holy Spirit comes and visits us today. You guys good with that? Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness and Your grace. And we do thank You for the fall. Thank You for the fellowship we have here. And Holy Spirit, we ask that You would come. We need You to be our teacher. We need You to be our guide, our comforter. And we need You to work the change in our hearts that needs to be made. Only You can do it. I pray that blessing on all that are here and all that might be watching. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, how about a Christmas story? Anybody want to hear a Christmas story? It's a little early. It's a little early. But I want to take you all the way back to Christmas 1974. Most of you were here. We won't ask. We won't have anyone raise their hands and say how old they were in Christmas of 74. But I was 13 years old. And I had been a couple months in eighth grade at that time in the second greatest place to grow up in Southern California, because I am giving a nod to Pastor Rich Whittier will be number one. But I grew up in that time in Placentia, California, so North Orange County in the 60s and 70s really was paradise, the closest you could get. I'm very blessed to live in a great neighborhood, great mom and dad, three sisters, two older, one younger, so there's six of us. Mom had the big 65 Plymouth Fury 3 station wagon with a Golden Commando, torque flight transmission, you know. And she was in a soccer mom before we called them soccer moms, right? Took us everywhere. And not just the regular baseball and football. The girls had dance lessons. We had gymnastics, diving, swimming. I remember all kinds of stuff. My mom, an awesome mom. If she had, if it was clear back then, or five love languages, hers was acts of service. She showed you she loved you by what she did for you. And the breakfast was made every morning, and the lunch was prepared for you, and she took you to school. So my mom was great. So what happens, though, is something that is going to be a little bit difficult. 2 weeks before Christmas, so somewhere in that first, second week of December, a kid shows up at my gymnastics practice in North Orange County, right, in Fullerton. He's the one rich kid on the team, Jack Morantz. I still remember his name. His dad was a lawyer, had a Turbo Carrera Porsche that he would drive back and forth with. And as I'm standing in the gym waiting for the moms to come, moms and dads, they pick us up, right? Practice is over. Out of the corner of my eye, Jack is playing around with a skateboard. I've seen skateboards before, but something is different. It's not making the same noise, because back then what we had was steel wheels. Anyone remember the roller skates and skateboards with steel wheels? And then the big improvement was the Fred Flintstone clay hard wheels that were basically like rocks. I don't know if that was the best technology they could come up with, right? But Jack is tipping around on this board, and I can't even maintain the conversation with this boy in front of me. I'm like, hold on a second. And I got to go, what in the world is on that thing? It was the wheels, right? It was, oh, yeah, these are the new urethane wheels. These are Cadillac wheels. It's made out of a petroleum product. You know, it's a little bit like rubber. It's got a softness to it. Let me try that thing. And I start kind of moving around on it, right? 13's kind of the perfect age. And they can't get the board from me. Other boys want to try it. I'm like, hold on a second. And after it did, it just hits me. And it's, oh, man, this is going to be hard. I'm going to need a Christmas minor miracle, because I'm going to ask for one of these. And I know it's way too close to Christmas. Mom's probably already got the big gift picked out. But I take Jack over and I go, all right, write this down. What is it that I got to have? What are these wheels? And he does it. And my mom shows up, and I do this whole speech. I do the preamble. Mom, I know this is way too close to Christmas to ask. I know in the history of mankind, no boy has ever been able to change his major present this close. But if there's any way, I got to have one of these. I really could see the potential, right? So it wasn't just, watch these words, it wasn't just wishful thinking. We're going to talk about that some more. I actually had some hope. Now, why did I have some hope? Well, you couldn't find skateboards easy. There were no stores that had them, so there wasn't any hope in that. And there wasn't any hope, and I was asking way too close to Christmas. The only hope I had was in my mom herself. her big heart and her desire to come through. Maybe, just maybe. I mean, it was only a glimmer of hope. But maybe if anyone could pull this off, my mom could. Well, you probably know where this is going. You might not know. A lot of suspense. Trust me that I really have a single point I mostly want to get through today. And we are going to get to the scriptures, in case some first-time visitors are wondering. No, we're biblical all the way. It's coming. So how we did it was our living room, you approached from the hallway and you kind of came around the corner and there were four places that Santa, we didn't believe in Santa anymore, but we knew, was our special gift would be sitting. And mine was right around the corner on the piano bench. And Laura's was in the chair here and Donna's on that end of the sofa and Terry's over there, right? So I mean, I'm in super excited. I mean, 13, but still, and I'm coming around that corner and sure enough, oh, you didn't think you were going to see it today, did you? In fact, I think we need a close-up on this. You got to come in there. You got to get the translucent goldness of this. Oh, look at that. See how the light comes through? They're actually slightly translucent. Loose ball bearings. You have a 24-inch white oak Hobie Super Surfer with sure grip trucks and roller sports wheels. And you couldn't get me off it. I'm in the living room. I was challenged to do it for you today, but we don't want any disasters. I actually, just trust me that I kind of could ride this. Of course, I'd be on YouTube footage forever if the pastor crashes while demonstrating skateboard on a Sunday. But so how cool was mom, right? I didn't open up any other presents, or at least I don't remember. They couldn't get me away from the thing. Transformed my life at that time, right? And the neighborhood around me. And so why I wanted to tell that story. So let's give a hand for mom, by the way. I don't know if she's watching. It wasn't easy either. She had to look for it. Finally found a guy at Orange County Swap Meet who just 1 week prior began a little site where he sold the urethane wheels. So I still skateboard to this day. If you wanted to test me, come out to the car. I'll show you my longboard in my trunk. 60 years young, and it's been something that's been a part of my life this whole time. And why to bring it up was this concept I want to get across. Because hope, as we know, is often in our Bibles, isn't it? And we are blessed in the Christian faith to have this ability to sing a song like Living Hope. I love that song. Really, you could entitle today's message Living Hope, because it really has to do with Jesus Christ, doesn't it? In the same way that I could dare to have some hope that I would get that present. And what it was anchored in was my mom. So for us, how awesome, really. And like no other religion or thought system or way to think or worldview or anything, right? They don't have what we have. We have God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth, and his son Jesus Christ, who died for us, demonstrated his love for us, right? Romans 5:8. While yet sinners, God demonstrates his love for us. And that Jesus died for us. Amen? And the Holy Spirit to indwell us. And we're going to talk about that. The Holy Spirit has a big part to play in the idea of hope. So you probably are familiar at the end of the beautiful chapter on love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The very last verse, which is 13. So it's chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians verse 13. The way it says it in the NIV, it says, "And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love." Goes on to say, and the greatest of these is love, but we're not so much talking about love today. You notice hope is in the middle. It was one of my working titles during the last couple of weeks, right? Hope is holding up the middle. Hope is the anchor in the middle, right? It does start with faith. Without faith, you're not going to get there. Without faith in Jesus Christ, you really won't have the hope, will you? And then it's all bathed. You think about love, it just encircles everything. It's God's motivation in the first place. The motivation for the cross. The motivation for what Jesus does in our lives and the Holy Spirit move in our lives. So the greatest of these is love. But hope, we maybe don't talk about quite as much, do we? I think, for myself, it finally came to me, I thought, I'm going to get out a Greek lexicon. Okay, don't lose me. And I'm going to look this up. I do want to know. I want to know what it says in the original Greek word. What do they say it meant back then? How did they see it? I want to make sure I get a handle on this. Because when Paul says, the Holy Spirit, through Paul, Now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. I think any of us reading that would instinctively know something powerful is being said here. If those are the three things he wants to say are the anchors of our life, then we could probably, it would be in our best interest to find out what's being said. Amen? Amen? So the key to it, this is exactly how it reads in my favorite Greek-English lexicon. Right. If you're wondering what the word is, it's E-L-P-I-S, so I guess you'd say Elpis. Elpis, it doesn't sound that spectacular, but it is spectacular in the concept. So listen to what it says. I'm just going to say it. I don't have it coming up. We'll have some scriptures in a minute. It says, desire of some good, so hope is attached to good things being desired, but here's the key, with expectation of obtaining it. With expectation of obtaining it. So what I would hope to leave you with, I want you to leave something behind for sure. And that is you have to get out of the idea of hope, something that's in the English. In the English, we have the idea, because it's built into the word, of wishful thinking. So across the street, maybe Jimmy Dom said, he was the one who lived across the street, James Michael Dom. I knew his whole name because his mom would shout it when he was in trouble, right? But we called him Jimmy. He hoped for a skateboard. Oh, I hope I can get one. Did you ask for it? No. Did you go down the store to buy it? Uh-uh. So would your mom even do that a week and a half before Christmas? No. So he had what? Wishful thinking. It was wishful thinking. So if I could, one of the things I want to do, because I probably have more than one, right? One of the things is, you guys, get that out of your head. So whatever you got to do right now, take 10 seconds, get wishful thinking out of your vocabulary for hope. The Bible, biblical hope, knows nothing of that. This is exactly how it reads. Desire of some good with expectation of obtaining it. And so why? Of course, right? I'll say it over and over. Our hope is anchored in Jesus Christ. It's a living hope. It isn't. So when I say things like, someone will say, wow, you think you'll make it to heaven? Well, I hope I will. I hope God will let me in heaven. That's wrong terminology. Amen. You don't talk that way. It's not about me. You better not hope Mark makes it to heaven. You don't put any hope on me. My hope, following me, is it Jesus Christ, amen? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's not wishful thinking. It's his promises. It's his character. I mean, how many sermons could you preach just talking about the things that you can latch onto for the hope, right? So I'm going to show us, we're going to look at some verses in Romans chapter 5. And I purposely left a couple verses out. Please don't send mail saying that I'm avoiding the... We don't have time for it. So it's Romans chapter 5, and it's going to be verse 1. And we'll start with that. So there it is. Therefore, having been justified by faith, remember that word, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And now verse 2. Through whom also, that's Jesus, we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Isn't that good? And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Amen. Aren't those some verses? So did you notice something? Did you notice 1 Corinthians 13:13 in that section of Paul? In verse 1 again, I'll help us out. I think we have it, if we pull it up with an obvious insert there. Therefore, having been justified by faith, and the next one, verse 2, and there you see, exult in hope of the glory of God, and then verse 5, does not disappoint because of the love of God. Faith, hope, and love. By the way, for you Bible scholars, it's the first time the word love shows up in the book of Romans. Takes all the way till chapter 5. Those of you who know Romans pretty well know Paul backs up with the book of Romans. He's not writing to a church he's been to. So he has less personal contact. So it's like he took the opportunity, I want to tell the gospel backing up. And he backs up and he gives us the prognosis. Mankind is in serious trouble and separated from God. And so therefore, that very painful second half of chapter 1, where it says the wrath of God is being stored up, and he names the way this downward spiral of mankind has been going. Read Romans chapter 1 from verse 18 all the way to the end, and you're like, this is today. This is today's news. This is exactly the way people are. And how we get there is separated from God. We don't have them in our lives. We don't want them to be God. I'm saying the human race, right? And so there really is, literally, it's not just a phrase, there is no hope for those who don't have faith in Jesus Christ and then the hope and the love that bathes it all together. So this verse, I don't have time, and I have preached on this. I think that's the proper tense of that. I have preached on Romans 5, and I talked about the way 1 and 2 reads. That's not what we're going to do today. But if you notice, you have to think kind of cinematically, but it's really powerful the way Paul says it. It'd be like you coming to an amazing city that has an incredible castle with a powerful king. And you're just you and you're just me, all right? Let's put it on me. I'm just a peasant. And I'm coming in these huge, intimidating doors. And I'm hoping I can get to see the king. But I need to know somebody. I need someone to make the introduction. I need someone to do this. It says, Jesus Christ, when you have faith in him, he swings open those doors and he invites you in. And he says, by the way, Father, I want you to meet Robert. This is Robert. He's given his life to me, right? We have our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. You've entered a kingdom where the very thing you're standing on is grace. The very air you're breathing is grace. The monetary system of the kingdom of God is grace. This is such an amazing verse, by the way. But don't get me going on it. But I love the way it works. So we believe, we have faith, and that's, again, more messages. We have to talk about that. Hopefully, we're always talking about faith. I mean, the idea, faith in the Bible, remember, all words are almost always verbs. So it isn't just, yeah, I believe in my head right here. I know Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It means I trust it, I believe in the Word of God, and I step out on it. I ask each day for the help. I talk to him all day long. I'm in conversation. I'm believing. I have an assured expectation that he's hearing me and that he's answering me. By the way, those are the two words that I want you to have in your head. We have, you guys don't say it out loud because you've got that out of there, but the wishful thinking is gone. Instead, when you see hope, see assured expectation. You have an assured expectation. The assurance, what you're trusting is God, is Jesus. Jesus said it. And so it's going to be so. Amen?
Amen.
So powerful. This, by the way, I'm sharing this message because this affected me greatly. The first time I read those words, you need to get wishful thinking out of there. You need to understand that hope in biblical terms is assured expectation when you see it in all these great places that it shows up in the Scripture, right? And so in this verse at the end, Paul, the way he is often, you really do have to unpack what he's saying because it comes across, and I think, again, most of the times I read it, I know it's beautiful. I know it's wonderful. I know it's stuff that's blessing me. So if I can get verse 2 to come up one more time, just regular or the highlighted. Look there at the bottom. Look there at the bottom. It's almost like an addendum, right, in a sense. He said something so amazing already. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we've obtained this introduction into this grace in which we stand. We now have access to the King of Kings. And then he throws in that line at the end, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And I've passed by that because I could grab a hold of what was before and after easier, as it were, or stronger. So again, knowing something amazing was being said there, but not necessarily taking the time to unpack it. So that's really where we're spending this time in these next 7 minutes, right? So here's the idea of exult. You may know what it is. Again, it's a verb. It means to express joy, right? So you're not just, again, going to say, yeah, I'm happy. I'm cool. I have joy, right? I am exulting, right? I am declaring. I'm living it out. You could even say, one author I like a lot, he puts quite a bit to it. Just that word exult, he says, living in joyful confidence. Living in joyful confidence. So let's use that. You ready to use that? Living in joyful confidence. And we see hope. What are we going to put in there? Assured expectation. Now we got to talk about the glory of God. That's a huge subject, right? Like universe filling. That's kind of big. That's kind of big. But I'm going to help you with stuff that I got from others. I didn't come up with this myself. But this is a little kind of phrase that helped me. How the glory of God is used here. Here's what I'm going to read for you. It says, the state of things as God desires them. So you could talk about like creation before the fall. Perfection as God intended it. The state of things as God desires them. Good triumphs over evil. Sin has no place. And everything exists in harmony with His holy character. Amen. So you think about that phrase again. I'm going to live in joyful confidence of the assured expectation that God's going to make everything right. I want to hear an amen and a hallelujah for that. Do I got to do that again? Live in joyful confidence with the assured expectation God's going to make everything right and perfect again. So you see, my hope of heaven, my hope of salvation, as much as I've already told you, it is not in me, it is in God. It's even bigger than that. You're part of a huge story. God is going to redeem all of creation. Amen. Amen. He said it. He put it in place in the first place to be redeemed. Amen? Yeah. It is His plan. So when someone says, hey, do you think there's any chance you're going to make it to heaven? And you're, well, I kind of hope so. You're not even talking about the right thing. God is going to make all things right. Yeah. God is going to recreate heaven and earth. You're swept up in that beautiful story if you simply have faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So my salvation, I'm going to heaven. It's an assured expectation. God is coming back down to fix all this. It has a purpose, right? I mean, just look at the universe, and it's interesting. Science, if you pay attention to it, and especially cosmology, the idea of the universe and the origin of things, it's coming back around. It isn't like it was at the turn of the century when Enlightenment had us thinking, oh, science is working against us, and we're not going to believe the Bible. We're going to believe Darwin. And the cosmologists, you can't find one that doesn't at the very least believe in a designer of unbelievable power and beauty, because there's just way too much going on. What is the purpose of all of this? It's the purpose of all of this for God to have eternal fellowship with sons and daughters that He rescued through Jesus Christ. You're swept up in that. So I can live in joyful confidence of the assured expectation that God's going to come back and make everything right. And I'm swept up in that beautiful universe redeeming program. Isn't that awesome? And that's you too. Now, there is a catch. You have to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have to enter. You enter. You get the introduction through what? It's clear. Faith. You have to believe. You have to believe. And then God, what He does to help us with this, every time you see hope, you can think of the assured expectation. You can never go wrong to just put Jesus Christ in there. And another thing to think about is the Holy Spirit. And Paul, I've been really blessed by this in teaching the book of Galatians. We're here on Wednesday night, so still time to come if you want. Wednesdays at 6:30, there's a group in here, and we're going through the book of Galatians. And Paul is huge on that. When he's talking to the Galatians, he's saying, how come you're thinking about going back to the law, right? That's the general idea. I gave you Jesus Christ, or presented Him to you, and you accepted Him. And did you get the Holy Spirit? Did you guys get saved? Did you have that experience? Yes. Then you are sons and daughters. You have the inheritance. You're part of Abraham's family through faith. And so the Holy Spirit in me is this assured expectation. He is the hope, right? And so So another pastor who was talking about it said, again, getting that wishful thinking out of there, it'd be like me saying, I'd be telling my, I'll use somebody, Lila, all right? Just because I use these guys over here, right? Let's talk about, there's a concert coming up, right? Chris Tomlin and Elevation Worship are together. And I was thinking you'd like to go. And you go, oh, man, I hope I can go. Well, did you buy a ticket? No. Are you planning to buy a ticket? Not really. But she's not hoping, is she? That's wishful thinking. That's wishful thinking. But, and here's, hope can be, the way it is in the Bible, that assured expectation, it's equivalent in a sense, right? Just follow my analogy. When you go and you purchase the ticket, what I have in my hand is the hope that I'm going to see Chris Tomlin and Elevation Worship. Amen? It's an assured expectation. Now, I'm not there yet. I'm not in heaven yet, but I don't just sort of wish and hope that in my goodness I'm going to make it. My joyful confidence is in the assured expectation. God's making everything right, and I'm coming in because it's an introduction by faith in Jesus Christ. So that's when you see hope. It is solid. It is the Holy Spirit is your down payment. It's your ticket stub. You're getting in. When this body perishes, the Holy Spirit in you, think about it. Where is it going to go? It's going back to God. It's pulling your spirit and soul with it. You have nothing to do with it at that point if you've given your life to Jesus Christ. I don't have to wonder, yeah, I kind of hope I'm going to go to heaven. No, I do hope because it's a assured expectation because it's the hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen? So I think I'm doing all right on time. In a version of the Bible, a common English Bible, CEB, there's different versions, but the way it translates Ephesians 1:14, it won't be up. I'm just going to read it. It says, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance. It's the down payment. You're holding the Holy Spirit. Whoops. It doesn't matter where I put it. I'm going to hit it at least once. And I have it down a little lower. But the Holy Spirit is the down payment of your inheritance, which is applied towards our redemption as God's own people. Amen. So you come to Jesus Christ in trust and faith. He says, I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins, right? Come into my life and save me. And you mean it as solidly as you can from the center of your heart. Holy Spirit is deposited in you. You're going to heaven. You're swept up in this grand movement of God to rescue and redeem the whole universe. And he wants someone from every tribe, tongue, and nation there to experience the way he intended creation from the beginning before we messed it up. I use the human race royal we. Right? And I'd have messed it up on my own anyway, if I'd have been Adam, right? I might have lasted a little longer than the shenanigans in the garden, but a week later, I'd have messed it up. So, right? It's the way it was going to be. So God, he knew. He did an end around. He had the cross always planned. Don't forget that. And the cross is retroactive. Abraham, you when we're in glory, amen, you'll be able to talk to him. You know why? Because the cross paid for his sins. Moses, the cross paid for his sins. God was always going to fix the whole problem from stem to stern. Every bit of the curse is reversed. So that's what our salvation, that's why we can live in joyful confidence with assured expectation. God is making everything right. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So I love it. A season of hope. Here's where we're in the holidays. We're our chance to get together with family and friends. We really do have, you know, we've cornered the market on hope, and many of your friends and family don't have it. So you share it with them. You share your personal testimony. Keep it personal. My hope, Mark Anthony Warner's hope is in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. Amen? And you can have it. It's as simple as, it's the hardest thing you'll ever do in one way because you got to give your whole self. But God didn't make it hard. A 5-year-old can do it, and I think maybe even a 4-year-old, right? And a 94-year-old said, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of my sins. And you now have the Holy Spirit, and you have hope. Amen? Amen. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. What could we say? But thank you for your goodness and grace. Through faith in Jesus Christ, what you give us, what you bless us with, your gifts of eternal life promised. And so it is your character that we anchor our hope in. It's your love. It's your grace. It's your kindness. Thank you so much for that. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that hasn't answered that knock at the door of their heart, I pray they would answer right now. Holy Spirit, knock and let them understand you want to come in and live and bring your presence and bring hope into the heart of everybody who can hear my voice. And so we ask that you would do that. You would do that. Everyone in this room would move forward in holding on to the hope that you have for us, would move forward and strengthen our grip on the hope that you have for this life and especially the life to come. Pray that blessing on all that are here, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.